Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and this is part two of the feedback for Will the Tower Industry Police Itself? I had so much feedback. I'm a little long-winded too, so I broke it into two parts. So I'm going to start with a comment. Thanks, Wade. Good commentary. You ask some very deep questions that never seem to be honestly answered. This industry has been self-policing for decades. All in all, the fatality rates have been dismal. I have been hearing for decades, we will take care of ourselves. We are professionals. We would be better than us. We will take care of ourselves. We are professionals. We would be better. Who would be better than us to make this industry safer? And I agree with that, by the way. Things have not changed at all. Furthermore, look at some of the tower rescues done by emergency services. While many nitwits want to talk about how they would have rescued and fired the poor guys, you overlook the reason why these men got where they were in the first place. Because they were tired, because they were hired to climb and they know nothing about it. It's not a joke. We buried a number of fathers and husbands this year because they were in the situations they had no experience in. Anyone you speak to in the industry will tell you how safe they are, tied off 100% of the time. If this were the case, we wouldn't have buried 14 of our own this year. You laid out some of the ugly truths in this industry. Wade, self-policing is code for you don't need to check us out. You should check out the other fools. Free climbing is rampant. Nobody dares to admit it. As long as the speed of the work is number one goal, safety and workers' rights will always fall to the back. Carriers escape any culpability through turfers and subcontractors. It's a big business and big money, little of which actually gets the big ones being pressured to do tasks safely. That's a good point. I'll keep reading. The policing has come from the climbers. They must be allowed and encouraged to say no to unsafe situations. Any company will say, we always have our men's backs. That is until the PM tells you that you are, gee whiz, guys, sorry. That is until the PM tells you the site you are on needs to be completed today and on the air tomorrow. There is no other answer they will accept other than, yes, sir, safety is not honored or rewarded. How can we possibly train every worker in the field with real-time on-the-job training supervised over a period of years by climbers with proper experience and safety records? Unions already do that. They have been doing this with excellent records, while we have companies who throw men off the streets onto job sites without any leadership. That is why climbers die. Sadly, climbers don't seem to have the stomach to change this either. Sad times indeed. And my response is, hey, thanks for the comment. And that's why I asked about a union for climbers, because nobody seems to be looking out for climbers. And I got to tell you, one thing I agree with, climbers don't really look out for themselves. With that said, I think they all want to arrive home at night alive. But so many times, and I heard this from so many people in the industry, they just do the job because they know they won't get paid if they don't. I mean, it really comes down to getting paid. It's a dangerous industry. I've been telling you guys for a long time, you really need to evaluate the safety and be honest with people. Unfortunately, and I'm going to blame the turfers here, they just find somebody else to do it. They do. They don't care if it's safe or not. Or they dangle money out there to get it done. And the interesting thing is, if you know it's not safe, and I know somebody recently that was injured because they did something that really wasn't safe, but they thought they would be okay and their safety gear failed. They tried a controlled descent and it failed. They got hurt miserably. So with that said, we really don't have unity in the industry. We don't, especially not among climbers. All you guys out there, you say that you want to stick together. You say that we need to unite, but the reality is it's very hard. For one, we don't communicate. I mean, I see the posts on Facebook. That's really how you guys communicate. It's Facebook. You don't talk to each other. Maybe you go through Nate where the bosses all talk to each other. Some are honest, some are not. Not everybody's reputable out there. But the reality is we somehow have to find a way to stick together. We somehow have to find a means to be on the same page and to air our grievances. You know what? I heard a lot of opinions about unions too. Mostly negative. I heard a lot of negative opinions about unions, but I worked with union guys. They're good guys. But you know what? It comes down to everything else. You have good employees and you have bad employees. Nobody seems to want to look at that. Nobody seems to want to look at the character or the integrity of not only the climber, but the guy running the company, the foreman and the project manager. Everyone says they don't want anyone to die. You know why? Because that's what everyone says. That's on the card. Oh, I don't want anyone to get hurt. But the reality is, when they're out there, they don't ask about safety too often. What they ask about is, when you going to be done? 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 Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done yet? You know what? It's like a broken record. It's like a child in the back seat. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done yet? We need this up. We need this up. We need this up. And you know where they hear it? They hear it from the level above them. If it's a GC, they hear it from the turfer. If the turf vendor says it, they hear it from the carrier. Carrier's like, schedule, schedule, schedule. Well, what safety demands does the carrier put on? Do they just say follow safe standards when they climb? Or do they lay it out there? Nate's coming out with a way to lay it out there. I got to tell you, that's what I think we need. We need a way to lay it out there. Lay out the safety standards and requirements. Unfortunately, I know when you climb American Tower, you have to be certified, and Crown Castle, I believe, you have to be certified. And what the people do, they certify the first round of guys, and then anyone after that, they may or may not certify. And Crown and American are very clear. They want to know who's going to climb their towers, and they want to know that everyone climbing their towers is certified. Unfortunately, you have a lot of vendors out there who don't care. They don't care. They'll get away with it. And you know what? 90% of the time, they do. And when someone dies, they fudge your paperwork, or they find a way to fudge it. They say they have in-house training. It happens. I just talked to a guy where it happened. He didn't give me any more information, but, you know, I don't know. I get fired up over that. But I agree with you. I appreciate your comment. Thank you. Hey, now's a good time. I'm going to be out at IWCE. If you want to see me out there, now would be a good time to go. It's in March. And my panel's on March 17th. I think I talked to Todd Schleckaway, and he has his speech on March 19th. So if you want to hear something from Nate, and something if you want to see me, and it's all about me, if you want to hear me talk out there about tower climber and about tower climbers safety and the job, I'm going to be doing it. I know all you guys already know that, but you know what? We got to spread the word, because a lot of people, you'd be surprised, have no clue what you guys do. You think I'm making that up? I know you think I'm making that up, but you would be surprised how many people have no clue. That's why they keep talking you down on price. And safety costs money. All right, let me get into the next comment. Next comment goes, industry driven by carrier deadline, stressful environment on tower owner side to meet customer demand. Push, deployment, change in equipment, push, reprioritization, conference call, chastisement, lost in the drudgery to get it done. Then an accident happens. The carrier, GC, and tower crew and tower owners say, we do not know how this could have happened, but we need to change. And you know what? I agree with that. You always hear that from all those guys. You know why? Because they're never held liable. I've climbed towers that, you know, shouldn't be climbed. Does a tower owner care? No, they're making money. They're not going to beef it up until they have to, until someone comes out and cites them. Sorry, I'll go on with the comment. Cooperation and standardized SOP is the change. Tower owners and carriers need to cooperate on a standard of keeping the backbone of the industry safe. For without the backbone of the industry, the body has no posture and is weak. And what he's saying there is, and that's the end of the comment, by the way. And for one, thank you for the comment. That's great feedback, because it is true. You know what? You don't think you need a tower climber? Then don't hire any. You know, go out and find another way to do it. Hire all crane operators and buckets, which is what AT&T tried to do. How'd that work out for you, AT&T? Oh, that's right. It was too expensive. You pulled back deployment. You cut costs. MasTech laid a lot of people off. Okay, being a wise guy, but the point is, everyone has a better way to do it, right? Till it comes down to writing the check. Then they begin to think about, how should we do it? Oh, it's really expensive to do it another way. And besides, the tower climbers are trained. They know RF cables. They know fiber termination. They know what they're doing. They know how to mount to the tower, and they know the processes. And, you know, it really helps that they can get to the tower. Not all cranes can. So I appreciate the feedback, and I think SOP, Standard Operating Procedure, SOP, is something that we should do. And for you guys that don't know how to do it, I'm writing up something on it. It's very easy to do. I'll come out with something on SOP. And believe it or not, where I used to work, we had a consultant come in, and he said that was one of the things we were missing were standard operating procedures on the wireless side. And my argument was, well, you know, we all know when you go to a tower and hang a dish up, you do different things. He goes, well, what do you do when you go to a tower? I go, well, we get out, we do the safety check, we have the tailgate meeting, we rig the tower, someone climbs up, we rig the tower, then we haul the dish up. He goes, there's your standard operating procedure. There you go, done. So I'd write up about 100 of those for everything from a non-penetrating rooftop mount to a small dish to a, you know, an 8-foot dish, a 6-foot dish, a 12-foot dish, to a cell array, wireless internet. We did a lot of that. You know, I just had to write up a SOP for everything. Yeah, it was tedious and time-consuming, and it was paperwork, something nobody likes, but it had to be done. I get it. He was a good consultant for pointing that out to us, and he was good for pointing us out why it was a necessity, because if something happens or a procedure is not followed, we need to have that documented, just like your safety manual. It's just like when you follow safety practices and the tailgate meetings, the hazard assessments, and, you know, so on and so on. And for anyone who thinks they got in the tower industry because there's no paperwork, wake up and smell the roses. It's full of paperwork. You might not do it, but your foreman or your crew lead is probably doing it all just to cut you some slack. And you're probably the guy bitching out there because you have to fill out your timesheet. Oh, I got to fill out my timesheet. That's so hard. Yeah. Wake up. Come on. Be an adult. Okay. The next comment. I'm in the industry, 16 plus years as a climber and a foreman. Recently moved to the PM position, an in-house instructor. God bless you. That's a tough job, in-house instructor and PM. I've always felt that climbers should be union, mainly for the purpose that people being poorly trained. It is something the industry always needed and still does. I feel a lot of the deaths and injuries over the years have stemmed from no or improper training. Having a unionized training could only benefit the industry. The days of handing a harness to the harness and gear to a guy who was telemarketing last week, showing how to put a harness on and climbing up 150 foot to swap out 12 antennas in one day with him, while showing him how to choose a proper anchor point for a fall arrest lanyard that would be gone. The telemarketer would have received good training for a few weeks and then been sent out ready and knowing what he signed up for, knowledgeable enough to be more of a help than a worry whether the guy should even be up there right now. At the least, he would have been weeded out before he got the chance to get hurt or hurt someone else. The training we receive through Comtrain, Gravitech, etc. is good training, except for the fact that it is, as everything in the industry, rushed. Originally a 2-week class cut down to 2 days. Rushed. The training is good for someone who has a type of experience already, has picked up some of the vocabulary, and who has put on a harness already. It's a great refresher course. Climbers need to be a little more than that to be a good, to get a good start, and not to try to learn under extreme pressures of the field until. Sign me up. I would love to continue working in the industry for years more, seeing this type of change and giving future climbers a little more security in their chosen field. So there you go. You make some great points. I think that training needs to be efficient because it costs money. I think a lot of tower crew owners get angry when they train somebody and they last 6 weeks in the job. They can't take the travel, the pay, the hard work, whatever. It'd be nice if they knew what they were in for. That's a good point. And I think that's part of the apprenticeship program that TireApp put out, is to give people a taste of it before they actually start doing the hard work, the heavy labor, or get to a point where they can hurt themselves. With that said, it's a dangerous job, right? Even on the ground, it's a dangerous job. You got to communicate. You got to be open. You got to understand what's going on. You got to bring someone up. It'd be nice if you could have a 5-man crew with the 5th man being trained on the job. The reality is, you usually have 3 or 4 new guys on the job. The industry's growing. Not a lot of people stay in the industry. And you know what? risking your life every day for $12 an hour? Is it worth it? Is it? I mean, just think about it. Is it worth it? I don't know, man. I don't know. That makes it hard. So you make some good points. I think the training has to be made more efficient just for the time. I think the tower crew owners don't want to spend the extra money if they don't have to, and I get it. And I think you should also renew the training once a year or every other year, and I think they should practice rescue every other month. That's my opinion. So are the employees are going to hire? Are they going to be there for 3 months or 5 years? You don't know. You know, the owners are in a conundrum. They're going to do the best that they can to train these guys. Maybe some won't train them and just send them out to be ground guys for a while. But Nate's coming out with training where that probably won't be likely. But, you know, it's still an apprenticeship program. You got to start them somewhere. It's something that has to be thought through. You know, a lot of these businesses are family-owned for a reason, because when they're family-owned, they can keep employees, for one. They tend to care about their people, and they tend to hire family and friends. There's a reason for that. That's because they trust family and friends. That's because family and friends don't let them down. That's because the people that work there, they know personally, and they become more than just friends. They're more than just workmates. Hey, when you work for a big company, at the end of the day, everyone goes home and no one gives a rat's ass about each other. But when you work for a family company, you could have dinner with these people. You could be at their houses. You could be, I live in the States, so we would watch football. You'd watch football together. You know what I mean? You would spend time together. You'd have dinner together. You would grow personal relationships that when it came time, if you wanted to leave, it would be hard. It wouldn't be a quick decision. You know, you talk to my wife, she would probably disagree with that. She'd say, hey, you're getting more money over here, just go. But the reality is, when you build relationships up with people, it's very hard to break them. So I think one of the things you need to learn is you got to look out for yourself, you got to be safe, and you got to put safety first, but you also have to be very efficient in the job. And a lot of these family-owned businesses have figured out all of that. They care about their people, they're efficient, and when they see something's wrong, they're not afraid to stop the work. However, if you're working for a turf vendor, they don't care. They'll bring somebody else in a heartbeat. They're heartless, a lot of them. They're heartless. They don't care. They don't care. Their priority is not your priority. Their priority is to get the site up, get it in the air, because that's what the carrier said to do. Carrier's three steps removed, okay? Don't get me wrong, the carrier hires tower crews direct, which is great. They do it a lot for like repair, maintenance, and maybe small jobs. But most of the time, you have a layer in between. When the carrier hires you, maybe they do care, maybe they don't. Maybe they'll just find another crew as well. It depends on the individual who you're working with, and that's what it comes down to. Integrity, character, and the culture of the company. The culture of the company matters, because if the company cares, they'll care. They'll care about their people. They'll care about their contractors. I know I'm going on, and I know safety matters at all costs. That's why I go on about this. But you guys have to make the decision. In the end, it's going to be up to you, the climber, as to what you can safely do or can't do. Whether you're a greenhorn or whether you've been in it for 12 or 15 or 20 years, you have to make the decision whether to say go or no go. And you have to do a calculated risk on what's best for you, your crew, and the schedule and the deadline. You got to balance that. All right, everybody. Be smart. Be safe. Pay attention to what you're doing. Make a plan. Follow the plan, but don't be afraid to adapt, improvise, and overcome. I know it's a lot to say. I know it's a lot to do, but you know it's the right thing to do. Take care, everybody. Hey, don't forget, I have products on wadesarver.com. Go to the blog, click on the products links all the way at the bottom. I sell my field worker's aid for tower site work. I have a log book out there. I have scope of work training. I have a scope of work ebook. I have, if you're new to tower climbing, I have tower climbing and introduction. If you're listening on the webpage, don't be afraid to go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave a review. Don't be afraid to go on Kindle and look for my books. They're under Wade Sarver or Wade for Wireless. Again, wadesarver.com, wadeforwireless.com. I got plenty of websites out there for you. And I'm going to be at an IWCE on March 17th, giving a talk at a roundtable about tower regulatory safety and compliance. Okay? Keep it real, everyone. Take care. Bye.